One of the most important figures in American popular song is our guest today, and a true iconoclast, Tom Waits, joins us for conversation, and we'll hear performances from his recent Orphans tour. Waits is from California and brought his boho persona and style to the Southern California scene in the 70s, dominated by the country rock of the Eagles. In fact, the Eagles recorded Waits' old 55. A change in his music took place in the 80s, following his marriage to Kathleen Brennan, who became his collaborator. His audience followed into a strange, more dissonant, and often beautiful world. A lot of songs that didn't find a home in many of those post-1980 albums, plus film soundtrack work, Waits has developed a second career as an actor, and new songs all live together on Orphans, his new album. I asked Waits if he had any concerns about making the songs from various places all work together.
Well, that's always a concern. It's like editing a film or anything else. You have to create some kind of meaningful experience out of all this raw material.
Well, you've been talking about it, or at least mentioning it, since, I guess, 2004 or so. Did it really take that long to put it together?
Well, it's like taking chickens to the beach, They ran off in all directions. And I don't really have an archive, and so it's kind of hard to get them all in the same drawer. So some of them I had to buy from a plumber in Russia who actually takes better care of my songs than I do.
Yeah, I read about that. Do you know how he got a hold of them, or didn't ask?
I didn't ask. It's kind of like a cloak and dagger thing, It was just this guy, and he had a translator and everything, and the kind of muffled voices and weird sounds, and we made a deal and sent him a cashier's check. It was all very it was like 007, right?
Yeah, you didn't have to meet in a freighter in the Baltic Sea or anything.
No, but I would have.
That would have been fun, actually. Let's talk about some of the pieces on here, because there's some really really interesting things from all over the place. I want to talk about a couple of the spoken word things, or sort of spoken word things. There's there's a Jack Kerouac song on here. Now, where the heck did that come from?
Well, he recorded it on a little reel-to-reel in a closet in the middle of a party one night, and one of his nephews, Jim Sampas, got a hold of it and put it on a Kerouac compilation. And, so I heard it, and he was singing. Mm. It was really nice to hear Jack singing. I think it worked really well in that sequence after that Bukowski thing about the kid on the bus in North Carolina, and it segues into this piano. That's "That Home I'll Never Be."
Yeah, that's one of the points where the Orphans get along really well. Why don't we just listen to that sequence? Because I was going to talk about Bukowski anyway, so let's put those two together.
The waitress was unlike the women he'd known. She was unaffected, and there was a natural humor which came from her. And the fry cook said crazy things, and the dishwasher in back laughed a good, clean, pleasant laugh. And the young man watched the snow through the window, and he wanted to stay in that cafe forever. And the curious feeling swam through him that everything was beautiful there, and it would always stay beautiful there. And then the bus driver told the passengers that it was time to board. And the young man thought, I'll just stay here. I'll just stay here. But then he rose and he followed the others onto the bus. He found his seat and he looked at the cafe through the window. And then the bus moved off down the curve, downward, out of the hills. And the young man looked straight forward. And he heard the other passengers speaking of other things, or they were reading or trying to sleep. And they hadn't noticed the magic. And the young man put his head to one side, closed his eyes, and pretended to sleep. There was nothing else to do. Just listen to the sound of the engine and the sound of the tires in the snow.
left New York, 1949. To go across the country without a dead lame dime. Montana in the cocoa fall. Found my father in a gambling hall. Father, where you been? I've been in the world since I was only 10. Don't worry about me, I'm about to die of the pleurisy. Cross the Mississippi, cross the Tennessee. Cross the Niagara, home I'll never be. Home in Unandora, home in Old Truckee. Appalachia, Cola, home I'll never be. Better off or worse than thick and thin. Like being married to the little woman. God loved me just like I love. I want you to do just the same for him.
A couple of pieces that were not written by our guest today, Tom Waits, Jack Kerouac's song, Home I'll Never Be, and Charles Bukowski. Spoken word piece in there as well. I understand at one point people were looking to you to play Bukowski in a film.
Oh, yeah, in Barfly, yeah. I was a little too on the money, I thought. Mickey Rourke did a great job. I mean, he was. Barbe Schroeder asked me if I was interested in pursuing it. And I was working in Zoetrope at the time. And yeah, I wasn't really that confident as an actor, to be honest with you. I thought it was a little too much for me to take on at that time. But I'm a you know great admirer of Bukowski's and all of his incarnations, you know.
Well, so much of his work has actually made it to the screen in one form or another.
It's true, yeah. True. Yeah.
Speaking of Kerouac and the Beats, one, of course, has to assume that they were a huge influence on you early on. I know this is probably going way back in your mind, but do you remember when you were introduced to them?
Teenager, I guess. I was a doormat at a nightclub, and the guy that owned the club was a read Kerouac, and he gave me a book and gave me On the Road, I guess, and I got glued to it, you know, sitting out there on the door half in the rain and half out of the rain. Just spoke to me, you know. It's like hearing a song on the radio or something that all of a sudden it's just everything winds up and the recipe is just right. And so a lot of those guys kind of became father figures for me, and I, you know, they were real Buccaneers, you know.
I guess Ginsberg would have been one of the ones you would have been able to meet.
Yeah, I met Ginsberg a couple of times, and I did that song, Home I'll Never Be, at a memorial for him that was done in Los Angeles. And yeah, he's one of the great ones.
Another one of the people, I guess, from similar era, probably a little earlier, is Lead Belly. You do a version of Goodnight Irene on here.
Oh, yeah.
And Fannin Street, which is your song, but isn't there a Lead Belly?
Yeah, he's got one the same title. He died the day after I was born.
Wow.
And of course, I read a lot about him, and you know, I heard a lot of the records, and yeah, I really he really speaks to me, and. Had a chance at one point to be part of a compilation on Lead Belly, pick a Lead Belly song, and his one of his distant relatives had his guitar that had been beneath her bed for the last 50 years or whatever, and she was going to let everybody on the record play his guitar and do a song, but I don't think they could get clearance from Alan Lomax, who has a lot of his songs tied up. I guess that whole Lomax estate, you know. So it's kind of a mess legally.
Was it a big old 12-string or?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
The same one.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Tom Waits is our guest on the cafe today, and we're talking about some of the Brawlers, Ballers, and Bastards, which are a part of Orphans, the sprawling, shall we say, new release. One of the songs I'd heard before was that one was in the film Big Bad Love, Long Way Home.
Oh, yeah.
And did you write that for it, or were they looking for a song, or how did that work out?
Yeah, yeah, they wanted a tune. They didn't know what they wanted, but... But, yeah, so, you know, it's sometimes a song is really at a right angle to what the film's about, and you don't always hit it right on the money, and you don't always want to.
Mm-hmm.
Left to center is usually the best way to go, and, you know, the mind will make sense out of just about anything. You know, if you show somebody a film clip of a shark attack, and then you play a little snippet of... you know, That's Life when Frank Sinatra, you know. People will make sense of that. Your mind will go, okay, shark attack. That's life. Yeah, okay, I got it. So sometimes you have to kind of create a riddle. I think those are the songs that last the longest are the ones you don't necessarily understand. Not that that's one of those songs that you don't understand. It's pretty clear. You know, it takes a long way home, you know, but sometimes there's a little nagging misunderstanding or it helps glue the song to the pictures, you know. So, 'cause a song is really a complete item in and of itself. It's really a movie for the ears, so... You don't want to be redundant.
Well, this one stands up pretty well on its own. You take it out of the context, quite obviously, and it works well. And this is Long Way Home from Tom Waits.
Well, I stumbled in the darkness. I'm lost and alone. Though I said I'd go before us and show the way back home. There's a light up ahead. I can't hold on very long. Forgive me, pretty baby, but I always take the long way home. Money's just something you throw off the back of a train. Gotta head for a lightning, hat for a rain. And I know that I said I'd never do it again. I love you, pretty baby, but I always take the long way home.
Long Way Home from Tom Waits, a song some of you may even know. Actually, Norah Jones ended up covering that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, it's such a huge question with you about covers. I don't even know where to begin because so many of your songs have been done by other people. Is it still flattering, or is it?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, of course. That's really. I mean, the idea that you could do something that someone else finds interesting for themselves to sing is, and find it meaningful, that it's not overly personal and to you yourself, you know, that they can find a, you know, a place they can sit down
right
in the song. And yeah, that's kind of what you're looking for. I had a song covered by Johnny Cash. That was like a huge thrill for me. He even changed some of it. I thought, oh boy, well, I guess he must have thought it needed some changing. I should have talked to him before I finished. Probably could have helped me. But, and then, you know, yeah, it's interesting. You hear songs recorded by a, you know, a band from Finland or Norway or Thailand or, you know, Tokyo. You know, it's, I love it.
Okay. Well, I wanted to go completely in the other direction for this next thing because I guess I'm kind of enamored of some of the spoken words things here because I love how you use your voice to conjure up things. And this is one that I think combines a couple of your scientific interests I'm talking about army ants. I just kind of wait for the beep on the film strip on this one. How did you and Kathleen come up with this?
Well, most of that is from the Audubon Society field guide for insects, you know. So, you know, I think we both like the arcane minutiae of life and the little things that hold us all together. And I don't know. Those are fascinating facts, and I guess I'm hooked on fascinating facts. Like, did you realize in Texas you are considered legally married by publicly introducing a person as your husband or wife three times?
Wow.
Yeah.
That could be useful or not.
It could really hurt. It could really get you. But I don't know. I thought those were interesting things about the insects because they do live parallel lives with us, I guess.
Well, let's listen to a little of the army ants.
Yeah.
The whirligig beetles are wary and fast with an organ to detect the ripples. The arachnid moths lay their eggs inside other insects along the borders of fields or roads in clusters of white cocoons. The ribbed pine borer is a longhorn beetle. Their antennas are half the length of their body, and they feed on dead red pine. Robber flies with their immobile heads inject a paralyzing fluid into their prey that they snatch from life in midair. The snow flea's mode of locomotion, strange and odd, with a spiny tail mechanism with hooks and a protracted tube from the abdomen to enable moisture absorption. The female praying mantis devours the male while they are mating.
Tom Waits is our guest today on the World Cafe. If you look at the credits on here, almost a whole lot of these songs are ones that you and Kathleen worked on together, your wife, Kathleen Brennan. And who says, come on, hon, we need to go to work? How does that work?
I don't know. You kind of, you throw down the gauntlet, you know, for each other. I don't know how you get started. You get started with a deadline, usually.
Yeah.
God damn it, I only got another 3 days on this, baby. I'm going to start working. You know? I'm one of those people who likes to write in the car on the way to the studio. And she'll do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good sport. You know, she's quick on her feet and a remarkable collaborator. And so she's... You know, if two people know all the same stuff, one of you is unnecessary. I think we come at it from two different angles. You know, she's got the rumbas and the... bossa novas and the Gregorian chants and she had one of those record collections. At one point, I said, "Baby, I don't know if I'm marrying you because I love you, or just because you got such a great record collection." You know? It was a little bit of both, I think. All my records were like, you know, out of their sleeves, and you know, in pizza boxes. And she keeps it all together, but we have a lot of fun writing together. It's a hoot, you know.
Your life changed so dramatically when you met her. Obviously you had kids.
Yeah.
I guess around that time you stopped drinking, a certain domesticity, which some say can kill art, but, you know, it certainly didn't in your case. But there was also kind of a real major change in your music, kind of a second act, although kind of hinted at before, I guess. It was pretty dramatic. Can you kind of pinpoint or even draw kind of a large circle around that change? And how that happened?
Oh, God, jeez, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think those things are like fevers, you know. Gee, when did I get that fever? How long did that fever last? How high was that fever? I don't know. I think you start out early on by kind of imitating and doing bad impersonations, and then slowly you evolve more into yourself. So,
well, amen to that. One of the things we're going to be doing today is listening back to some of the performances from the Orphans tour this past summer.
All right.
A tour that was a remarkable love fest by all reports. You seem to enjoy it, and I know people who flew in from the East Coast, where we are, to any of the various villes you played in, or Akron, or wherever, yeah, had a great time. Do you like playing live? How do you treat it after doing theater? Do you treat it as a theater piece at all, or how is it for you?
Well, there's usually a lot of technical things that have to be dealt with, and sometimes it ruins the whole experience for me. It's like, it's kind of like it's like open heart surgery. Now we're going to move it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to take this whole thing. We're in mid operation. We're going to move this to Alaska. So it really bothers me at first. And I had a lot of great people working with me. And whole gang went out. My son played drums. And, it was really good. It was really good. I actually had a good time in spite of myself and surprised myself. I'm usually pretty grumpy out there. And you're dealing with physics all the time. Mm. And a lot of people like the fact that it's different every night. And I don't know. Of course, if it was the same every night, you'd stop doing it.
Well, I want to maybe ask about a couple of the tunes we're going to hear. And one of the things that, we talk about maybe a couple different eras of what you do. And a song that you do live a lot, which is one of the earlier ones, is Tom Trobert's Blues.
Oh, yeah.
And this may just be a really dumb question, but I was trying, is Tom Trobert somebody you made up, or is there a Tom Trobert, what do we know about him, even if you did make him up?
He was a friend of a friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah, who lived in Denver and died in jail.
Yeah.
And so he's a real guy. And so that's a song that is about a lot of things, but mostly I think, the idea that a Matilda is a backpack, so it's about going being on the loose, out on the road, chasing your dream, and all the things you encounter in the process.
Well, that's one of the ones we'll hear when we get to the concert portions of things. Tom, thanks a lot for your time.
We
totally appreciate talking to you, and congratulations to you and Kathleen on this work. It's just great to have it.
Hey, good. Thanks a lot, man.
Tom Waits coming up, a concert from the tour for Tom Waits' new Orphans album. We'll hear that classic song Tom and I were talking about, that Tom Trobert's Blues. The song's been called one of his finest. You'll hear it in a moment here on the World Cafe.